Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is SBS Spice.
Welcome back to SBS Spice. I'm talking to the other three guests from the Cool Curious's Diaspora Story Lab. In part one, we talked about finding your footing in the industry. And I hope part two is about voice, how it sharpens, how it shifts, and sometimes resists being boxed in. Co-Curious's Diaspora Story Lab, which is proudly supported by SBS, because who else, brought South Asian screenwriters together to do something rare, spend time thinking about their writing without having to defend why their stories belong. In this episode, I'm joined by Urvi Majumdar, Sunanda Sachathrakul, and Nicole Reddy, three writers whose work spans comedy and drama and who are each pushing against neat ideas of representation in very different ways. Nicole, Urvi, and Sunanda, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
I also got to start off by way to go on the pronunciation of my Thai last name.
Thank you.
I am proud of you.
I'm glad. And I don't know why, but I kind of knew that you would say that. I just had this feeling. I was like, I will take Sunanda's name and Sunanda will be like, oh.
Did you practice?
No, we don't practice.
Oh my gosh.
She's just naturally that good at it. Yeah.
Thank you. You guys have to practice.
Very impressive. Your
writing, which we're going to talk about. Whenever I hear the words South Asian storytelling, I have like a range of emotions. Sometimes I struggle with understanding what exactly that means. And sometimes people are like, oh, South Asians writing their stories is South Asian storytelling. And sometimes I feel that South Asian writers are often writing about South Asian experiences. And then sometimes that makes me feel, oh, I want this writer to write something that's not exactly South Asian either. So I want to start off by sort of cleaning the surface of South Asian storytelling. Urvi, maybe you can kick us off. What do those words mean to you?
Yeah, I think what you said in one of those descriptions, South Asians telling stories, I feel like I like that as as the broad sense, because it doesn't have to be about being South Asian in Australia. But also, I liked how all of our projects and just generally our work, I think, does center South Asian people, because we know that diversity matters and showing that matters. I think for me, when I started, my background is in stand-up comedy. So when I first started stand-up, I really had in my head, for some reason, I was like, I don't want to just do jokes about being Indian. And for the first few years, I avoided it at all costs and I just did jokes about everything else. But then I guess I started just realizing that so much of my upbringing is my parents are really funny. When they annoy me, they deserve jokes made about them. And like the more personal I got, the more people related to it across all cultures. So I think now I sit in a mix between just doing what feels true to me and what is occupying my mind at that time.
Yeah, perfect. What a great start, because that also takes me, and I'm glad you mentioned jokes, because Sunanda, your background is very much, you know, comedy driven, comedy rooted, yeah. But comedy is such a difficult thing to do. Sometimes drawing lines in comedy can be really tough. Talk to me about what your experience has been in the space of comedy, especially as a South Asian creative.
Oh, good God. South Asian, don't forget, also diasporic, Southeast Asian, also don't forget. Get migrant, and then queer, genderqueer. These are all, you know, the things I lean on. No, I'm just kidding. But kind of like come off of Orvi's, like, is it just South Asians telling our stories? Is it just people from these? But it's always write what you know, right? Like the specific is what is universal. And so, yeah, like Orvi, I find the funniest things come from my experiences embodied in this body. And actually the contradictions of how I see myself or how I feel inside this body versus how I'm perceived. Whether that's by, you know, white people or even by my own family, you know, like often I love making fun of my mom because she, you know, growing up has always asked me to be more of a lady. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm so not, you know, that's what I think I'm looking for is a lady. I'm not looking to be a lady. I'm looking for a lady. Actually, I'm not looking anymore in a very happy, committed relationship. Thank you.
Whoop, whoop. Someone is.
But yeah, comedy can be quite divisive, right? Because I think the thing they say is you laugh out of recognition, right? So a group that laughs together identifies that they're in that group. And anybody who can't laugh at that is outside of that group. So you're drawing very, very clear lines by expressing what you think is funny, expressing your point of view in this world. And as people who, you know, at least in the context of white Australia, are marginalized, I think it can feel daunting, or it has felt daunting for me. I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone. Also, being a South Asian creator, I only write my stories, not all South Asian stories. But yeah, I find it daunting, especially express a new joke or some new point of view, because I am sure there's going to be some people who go to the pub and just don't get it. I think now I'm just telling myself over and over again, it's just not for them.
Yeah.
It's not for them, and that's okay. And that's not hate or me trying to be exclusionary or anything. That's just me actually trying to create something that someone like me, you know, and hopefully there's an audience of just more than just me that laughs at my own stuff.
A few years ago, I did the most like South Asian thing ever, and I wrote like an academic essay on comedy.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah, that's also so you. Such a
I was like, I would miss my philosophy and literature degree. And I did. It's on Cordite, which is like really good. But in it, with some of the studies that I read about the sort of like studying comedy in South Asia, in London, but like Asian and South Asian comedy. And one of the readings was sort of talking about how you have to lean on stereotypes, because comedy often we do have to go to pubs and just perform in like rural places. Yeah. And, you know, like Greater Australia, like you have to get them on board. You've got 5 minutes unless you want to just like be in silence, which is even worse. So it's very like survival mode. And to communicate ideas, sometimes you have to lean on stereotypes, but then you feel so bad if like you're just perpetuating those stereotypes. Mm. So I think that's sort of like a constant challenge that we face as well when we're trying to be a bit more commercial or speak to the like, you know, more mainstream audiences.
Absolutely.
You're with SBS Spice.
I also have a very sort of a dark sense of humor sometimes. Like I enjoy jokes that are, you know, a bit weird, bizarre. They're making you a little bit uncomfortable. I really enjoy that. And I think then it becomes even more interesting. You know, they're not necessarily talking about Indians. It's not necessarily an Indian comic, but I'm laughing my ass off. Like I'm enjoying it thoroughly. But I think it's also, you know, the way it's written, the nuance, the intention, then there's a lot more than what you actually hear on stage. It's also the work process of the artist and the kind of lens, I suppose, they're coming from. But Sunanda, just riffing off of you in terms of, you know, write what you know, then how do we make these stories global? Because I've definitely watched, you know, foreign films and I've been moved. I've been moved by dialogue that I can't even understand. Even in India, like I'll watch a South film and I have no idea what in Malayalam that means, but I am crying and I'm laughing, you know, it is touching me. So Nicole, let me, you know, give this one to you. How do we make South Asian stories that are really specific, and how do we make them global then? What's the appeal?
You know what? I think that sometimes we get really worried about like how we make other people understand us, but every single one of us we're all human, right? And so there are always going to be common human experiences, and it's our job to communicate that with people. So, you know, whether it's about loneliness or love or belonging or identity, I have my own kind of major themes that I seem to circle around quite a lot. And what we get to do as South Asian creatives is we have this, you know, immense resource of our cultural heritage and specificity that allows us to kind of tap into sort of a fresher way into those themes, into those really universal truths. But everyone has felt like an outsider in the room. Everyone has felt lonely before. Everyone wants love, you know. Like there's so many common themes between all of us, and so I find that my job is less about, you know, worrying so much about finding or like trying to communicate to people that you don't look like me, and more just about like saying, what is that one thing that I desperately want to say to someone, And often you find that when you're really speaking in your voice and from a place of like conviction and in, you know, about stuff that you're really wrestling with yourself or questions that you can't get out of your head, it's going to reach someone.
Definitely.
And probably a lot more people than you think. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I try and put it out of my mind about worrying too much about that and just kind of focus on going, I trust myself and I trust my writing and I trust that I know how to communicate because that's our job. Otherwise I wouldn't be here working. So yeah, I think we can all be like, okay, we're at least decent communicators.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I was just going to say, if I think about all of the sort of internet, like the world movies and stuff that I've watched, it's always hit me because there's some kind of like amazing, undeniable kind of truth to it. Like we all watched Squid Game, yes, because it was exciting and exhilarating, but also because we all kind of live under this crazy capitalist society that we're now just like stuck in, and it feels like shitty. And so yeah, wow. That's why it was exciting to us.
100%. Squid Game is such a wonderful example because, you know, of course I didn't understand the language, didn't even know much about the economic situation of that country. It didn't matter. It was creatively done so well that every person who works or has worked would just instantly relate to, you know, the trauma of working your ass off and still not having enough money, still being under debt.
Yeah.
All these very, you know, like universal issues, I feel. One of the things that I often think about when it comes to representation, and it's been my like dream, but I'm yet to see, I really want to see a South Asian villain. Like it's my dream. And it's like not the redeemable ones. No. She did it because she had trauma. Yeah. Just an out and out irredeemable bad person. And I think it's because we are worried about our perceptions. And of course, you know, that is a valid concern that we might not be writing characters that are irredeemable. So I want to ask you as writers, do those concerns, how valid are those kind of concerns? Because I'm just a viewer, right? I'm a consumer. I'm going to consume a story that speaks to me. I don't have the responsibility of writing these characters, but I do want to be entertained. And for me and for a lot of other people I know, being entertained by villains or like, you know, dark characters is also pleasurable. But I just don't get to see like brown villains that much. Do you find it difficult to write negative brown characters?
I don't think so. I guess when, like Nicole was saying, when we're writing or when I'm writing, at least I don't really try and think about how it would be perceived by white audiences or just like any audiences outside. But I think you're right in terms of like a mainstream villain would be really funny and cool to see. Yeah, just in a surprising way, if it's not tied to like, I don't know, like parents' trauma or something typical.
No. I asked this question to like a film critique a couple of years ago, and she was very much like, you know, this is not the time to do that. You know, this is the time where we have to have positive representation. This is the time when we have to sort of, you know, show, for the lack of a better word, I guess, positive, more chirpy, I think, brown characters on screen. And I remember disagreeing with her at the time as well. But yes, Ananda.
I think there's a fine balance, right? A, you don't want to make them, you don't want to write every single character as just bright, smiley, model minority.
Even that's so annoying, right? Like sometimes you see like Indian women in shows and they're always like, hee, hee. And I was like, ha. And I was like, all Indian women I know just want to punch you. They have like a resting face. Like you don't want to, you know, you don't want to piss them off. So I don't know where this is coming from. Baddies, yeah.
Again, it is for me like a consideration about what is the current political climate? Because as a trans person, I guess I'm a storyteller. I'll go into like a personal experience. But like, for example, as a trans person, queer couple, we've had a neighbor come over and be like, there's no screening between your house and my daughter's bedroom window. So and I'm like, what? So, you know, I have an idea for like an extremely villainous character who is South Asian, they're trans mask, AFAB, they're queer, but they're like a loner, loser, stoner with like no direction. And they get the opportunity to become a guru, like a fake guru, and then they scam all these people. But is now the time to present a total like perverted scammer, possibly somebody who commits SA, but is in that body? Like it'd be so much fun. Like it's my dream to do that show in that character, because I'm like, it'd be so fun. And I love that idea of like Maleficent, right? Where you're like the villain origin story. But it's like a tough, it's a tough creative struggle. Because you're right. It's like those are the fun ass juicy stories that we're like, let's dig into this. Like in Polite Society, the mother-in-law character was such an awesome villain.
Yes.
You know, like she was like, I'm going to implant and you're, you know, and, but I think that balance of having all of them be South Asian characters, and then even all the women being physically strong. And it's actually like the dad, I think, who like does the worst karate chop in the fight
scene. It's such a beautiful film. It was so enjoyable. I think where my upbringing comes from, you know, India has, you know, caste, and then there's class, and then there's gender, there's different religions. But race-wise, it's very, like, homogenous, right? Like, everyone is racially Indian and racially, of course, we have ethnicities. But if you make a film, of course, we're going to have brown villains, duh. So I grew up on, like, amazing brown villains. And then, of course, when I, in my 20s, when I moved here, I was like, oh, I think a part of me, like, misses that. Because that's what I know. Because in Indian films, of course, the good guys are brown, the bad guys are brown. Everyone's almost brown, you know? And then there's one Scottish guy with really bad Hindi who just comes in for like one dialogue here and there, and we want to show like white people. But yeah, so I agree. There's also like, you know, time and place and the political climate of those things. Nicole, talk to me.
Look, I think when it comes to sort of looking at what the market wants or what broadcasters want, I mean, we know at the moment that people are playing it quite safe and that the industry is in a bit of a turmoil in terms of commissioning. What I grew up absolutely hating was how every terrorist was a brown character. And so I think there was a show where the terrorists were white, and I was like, I'm watching, because I just for once in my life wanted to see it flipped the other way. And so I do think that, like, you know, being mindful of the political climate is really important. But I also think it's like, we should have roles, especially for women and for people of color, that are interesting and meaty roles. And I think what we're missing in desiring these villain characters is that they're often really fun and interesting roles to both play and write. And it's like, why is it that we are only limiting ourselves to roles which feel too one-dimensional, or characters that feel too one-dimensional? Because that's not representative of anyone's experience. I mean, my trick to writing terrible people is I make everyone a terrible person, and so it doesn't matter. It's not about their race or their ethnicity or even their gender. It's just, how do I make each role juicy and appealing for an actor to want to jump in and play? So I think, like, we can't control anything about the political climate or anything that's going out, but we can control our craft. And so it's just, I mean, as much as possible, just putting out characters which are as interesting and juicy to play as possible. And maybe that's what we're really missing on screen. Less so than, like, I mean, everyone wants to write the next sort of like fantastic villainous story, like the Maleficent story. It's so good, right? But then only Angelina Jolie could play that role, because there's so little option. So it's almost like we've got to really work on making every character in your story as juicy as possible, so that we create space for more people to have fun roles. A lot of responsibility, but they don't say writing is not easy.
I'm sure. No,
it seems like it's sad that at the moment the political climate seems like that no one wants to take risks, and even to have a show or a showrunner who is brown is a risk in itself in this climate. I think it is, in perspective, it's sad that that's so far to go to see a brown villain like the one that maybe Srinanda was talking about. But we'll get there. And that was good in the workshops as well, to be like, things change and things go in cycles. And I do believe we're going in the right direction.
Mm. Yeah. Another thing that I admire about the West, I think, and it's the skin tones. You know, when you see South Asian characters in Western TVs and Western shows, they're, you'll see a range of skin, like someone's darker skin, someone's medium toned, someone's really light skinned. You don't see that back home. You know, the lighter you are, the bigger of a star, you know, you can be. So that's one of the things that I've noticed in the last few years as well. I mean, Simone Ashley comes to mind from Bridgerton. That was a huge, huge show. Did I have a problem with how badly their background was written? Yes. I just couldn't sort of place them, you know, she's speaking Marathi and then she's, you know, also from Bangalore. It was so just confused. So confusing. It was such a mixed cocktail. And I was like, and those kind of details do turn me off, because then I feel as a viewer that you just did it to appease and to appeal to this, you know, growing era of representation, that we have a brown leading lady and oh my God, her sister's also brown. So please come watch Bridgerton. And then you watch it closely and you're like, did you not do a simple Google search? Like, how are you placing such a big story with such little care? So I think that brings me to understanding how you as writers, of course, you're South Asian, but I, you know, you also have your own specificity. You might, as Sunanda pointed out earlier in the pod, you might not know everything about other South Asian characters. So let's bring it back home and talk to me about when you are told to write a character and you're given a background and you have no idea, let's say, about that background. What does the approach look like? Urvi, do you want to kick us off?
Well, it was interesting because the first show through ABC and Screen Australia that I made, a pilot called Urvi Went to an All-Girl School. We had an all-brown writers' room, which was awesome. So we had like Sashi Pereira, Surin Jaiman, and Rohan Ganju, and myself, and Nino Yama was co-writing that. But it was really interesting to have, because initially when I put that application together, I was like, oh, well, I really like their sense of humor and that'll be good. And I didn't really realize how different all our experiences were growing up in different parts of Australia. So like Soren's parents, we're all like, yeah, you know how your parents scream at each other and that's the only way you can communicate. And Soren's like, no, my parents are actually really chill and like never yell, which was crazy. We're like, are you serious? That's like, literally I've never heard of that from a South Asian household. So we all had really different experiences growing up here and their parents were from different places. So I think for me, I'm still very new to everything. So I would always consult someone who's from that area to like write with them or to kind of like hear their experiences and write together rather than try and make it up myself. I speak from my experience and then get information from others for theirs.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. So like a journalist.
Oh, sorry. When you ask that question, Dilpreet, it also reminded me of, I was like, oh, maybe that happens mostly when it's non-South Asians writing South Asian characters, like your example was Bridgerton. But then I was like, oh no, Master of None. I had a huge gripe because his name was Dave.
Yeah.
D-E-B.
Yeah.
But there was an episode where he couldn't tell his parents he was eating pork because they're Muslim. And I was like, I don't care how like unreligious or how lifestyle Muslim you are, you would not name your child Dave, which is one of the most Hindu names you can name your child.
Absolutely.
And that was like,
that's not
as well, but I was like, oh my God, the rest of the show is actually really funny. And I love it. So I'm just going to chalk that one up to probably studio execs being like, listen, Dave sounds like Dave and that's what people can get on board with. So let's just call him Dave. And he's like, all right, I have to get a show made and be called Dave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a funny detail.
A lot of Hindu people don't eat pork either. They didn't have to make it Muslim. I guess as is some life experience or whatever. But so interesting.
And I identified with that, but you know, with the not eating beef thing.
Yes, exactly.
In oh my God, what's that Mindy Kaling show? Never Have I Ever. And the cousin, Devi's cousin, I don't know why she talks like this, but she has a very, 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 very annoying accent. And every time I listen to her, I'm like, who is talking? Who? I don't understand. So there's also these, you know, it's a show by a brown woman. It's show by, you know, the best brown sort of writer we've had in the industry for the last, you know, 40, 50 years. And you still see such careless details, you know? So I guess it's not just...
Not to defend her, but that actor, Rich, is actually from Hyderabad, but grew up
in the U.S.
Grew up in the States. Yeah.
So she doesn't have the accent, which is, I think, Urvi, before you joined, I was telling Nicole about 4 years later, and both Shahana and, you know, they were from India. So you could, you know.
Yes, it's very authentic.
Yeah, which was a nice little detail.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know about you guys, but you know, when Mindy Kaling was making that show, she did like a call out. It was like worldwide call out to like any Indian girls. And so there was me, my sister, like everyone I knew sending me this. So like, you got to audition for the Mindy Kaling show. So I remember trying so hard to like, it's so sad that like I came to Australia with like a full Indian accent because that's how I was speaking as a 6 year old. And now when I try and do an Indian accent, it sounds like I'm being racist. Like, it's so annoying. It's like, you know how many roles I could get, or you know how many like roles I could apply for if I was just like could do an Indian accent properly, which is my mother tongue. So yeah, I would have sounded worse than
her. Yeah, but
your privilege came to bite you back in the ass.
And it's also that I really respect acting, you know, like when Dave did Lion, I was blown away. I was like, how is this, like, oh my god, this guy's really picked up the Australian accent. And then I watched the film that he made last year, which is a phenomenal film. And Hanuman, was it? Oh my God, I'm forgetting the name.
Uh-huh.
Monkey Man. Yes. Monkey Man. Yes.
Monkey Man. Yeah.
And he, I actually translated it. Monkey Man.
Nice.
And
Hanuman.
Also. Yeah. He sounds so real. So I think it's also about being very careful, you know, like you guys do your job as writers, and there's a job of actors to do as well. But more than that, of showrunners to pick the person who, you know, suits the writing and suits the character. It all has to sort of come together, right? Like nothing can be in isolation.
Yeah.
Can I tell you characters I would want to write?
Please.
Yeah, I want more super hot romantic leads. please, the guy that does all the cool stuff and gets the girl and is really witty and like basically all the stuff that Glenn Powell is playing at the moment. I would like to see more Dev Patel and etc. play that, please. I mean, there's billions of brown people, like, surely some of them are doing, you know, cool stuff in cinema.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think Dave Patel deserves, like, a proper, like, Hollywood feature, like, romantic.
So hot.
Yeah, he's so hot. When I went to Adelaide, all I did was, like, Dave, is Dave here? Is Dave here? And there was, no, I tried. I tried.
Get him on SBS Spies. Do it in person.
He's so private. It's almost annoying.
But I also want more brown women, especially in like speculative fiction and science fiction and things like that. Like I want to see them in lead roles because I think that like, and this is, you know, that if we think about like what it means to live in sort of the themes that we talk about in science fiction, it is so much of the experience of being not white and not a man. Like we're already dealing with all of that. And so I'm just like, can we just have more faces of the people that have the sort of experiences that they can transpose into these characters, just be them.
Yeah. I mean, I would also love to see like maybe a little bit, you know, there's also like over romanticization with like diasporic South Asians. Like I've noticed it and it's like, oh, you know, when we talk about home is this, home is that. I was like, I don't know. I don't remember it like that. It's like,
yeah.
This is the motherland. I'm like, oh, okay. It's very serious. So I think, you know, those, it'd be nice to sort of, you know, yeah, pluck away at that a little bit. I also see a lot of like Indian Australian characters and there's a lot of shame either being Indian or being Australian. Like I would love to see a character who knows that character is in, you know, in both worlds, who has sort of, yeah, dealt with it. Like, yeah, I want that. I feel like there's always like these very repetitive themes when it comes to diasporic characters. And I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm sure they exist beyond that. I'm sure they don't, you know, talk about this all the time. And like, this is the only thing that matters to them. Yeah, like
it's not their whole focus. this.
Like being accepted and trying to assimilate and trying to connect with your culture. No,
Yeah, bring in the sci-fi. Like, come on, like let's move past the common stories.
I think that's something to be said as well. Like so much focus on content, which is understandable because we need South Asian creators, but also the form. Like it would be really cool to see what actual South Asian creators are doing in terms of like how they're telling the story. And like Beef, for example, was so good. Like Beef with Ali Wong, like, you know, that didn't have anything to do with like her wanting to
Beef,
belong.
Right?
It's just like really rage. You're angry, and it was told in such an interesting way as well.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, I think not once in the whole show did they have to say that they were Asian. The writing was not once. Like, I see brown characters like giving like, oh, my mother is Sri Lankan and I'm Indian. I was like, I don't see other characters sort of saying that.
Why do you need to say that?
Why do you need to say that? Like, I would like writing to be, you know, written very like subtly almost when it comes to these things. Because as a viewer, I find myself detached because I'm like, that just doesn't sound natural. Like, I don't know why anyone would introduce themselves like that. Like, of course, we talk about it, but especially when we talk to each other about it, right? Like, I don't go to Newtown Station and be like, hello, I'm boarding this train and I'm from India, by the way, and I moved here. Like, it's obvious that I'm, you know,
Now we got to get white characters introducing themselves both through, like, their parental lineage.
Yes.
So, you know, we've got, like, Tommy in Newtown.
You're right. Perhaps that's the route we should go and, you know, instead of us trying to assimilate, we celebrate our diversity and then encourage and empower white people to celebrate.
Yes.
And origins. We all reclaim cultures, but without the neo-Nazi.
Literally. Go back to your roots and find out who your Irish ancestor is.
I thought you were going to say go back to your
country. I know. I was like, whoa, this is taking a turn.
We can't go that far.
Yeah, they would immediately cut that out.
You bet, Nicole. You bet. Yes. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much, Nicole. Thank you, Sunanda. Thank you, Urvi. Listeners, please tell us a South Asian character you never want to watch, but also a South Asian character you're dying to watch. I know that a lot of our listeners love cinema, love writing, love shows, and are deeply, deeply interested in how we are writing brown characters in 2026. So I hope that we don't get to see the same old, but we also make way for more risk. We also tell stories that we've never told before. And I think we sort of start washing away the guilt of, you know, writing what will appeal and push the envelope. But also it's a collective effort. Of course, actors can't do it on their own. Writers can't do it on their own. Journalists can't do it on their own. So it's a collective effort. It's going to take time, but how lucky are we that we got to hear from three such wonderful South Asian creatives. Thank you so much for listening.
For more hot takes from South Asians in Australia, find and follow SBS Spice on Instagram at SBS Spice or on YouTube by searching for SBS South Asian. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.